The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
I'm Derek Story with O'Reilly Media, and I'm here in the main press center in Beijing, and I'm sitting here with Ben. And Ben, you're a photographer here covering the games. Just tell us a little bit about what you're up to, and then we have a pretty good story to tell.
Great. Well, I'm here at the games as a freelance photographer. I have my own company. I've been living in Beijing for 4 years now. So what I'm doing is I'm shooting the games from a sports perspective, obviously, but also from a more kind of documentary perspective, capturing the people, the crowds, the China element, rather than simply just close-ups of the sports stuff. So it's a slightly different brief from a lot of the main photographers here.
Yeah, I've been looking at some of your shots on a 30-inch cinema display, and they look great. I mean, they really have a nice feel to them, I have a sense of being here sort of feel to them.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's a lot of the work I've been doing in China for the last 4 years. I'm actually a former journalist myself, so when I came to China because I really wanted to experience this kind of industrial revolution in our time taking place. And as a result, I was drawn to capturing all the construction that was going on. I wanted to kind of show what does a GDP growth rate of 9% actually look like? How does it actually look? And through that work, I got involved with some construction companies and engineering firms. And as a result of that, I ended up photographing the bird's nest and the water cube for the architects. So a lot of what I'm doing here as well is I'm actually sort of finishing a work cycle that I've been doing for 2 or 3 years. I've been walking around these places. You know, I'm actually going through the stadium saying, I remember when this was just a wall of scaffolding. I remember when that glass was just in piles, you know. So it's kind of like a completion process for me. And part of the work I'm doing is that the architects are, I will be shooting for them as well, so that they can show the buildings that they've created in use. And in fact, I actually have an exhibition going on right now in Beijing, and that's called Hourglass. And the reason being that all the work I've been doing has been that sort of as the grains of sand of the old Beijing kind of fell through the hourglass until that moment on the 8th of the 8th of the 8th when the hourglass flipped and the word Beijing had a new meaning. The word Beijing, I don't think, will ever really mean the same again as it did 2 or 3 years ago when I came here. When I came here, Beijing was a pretty gritty. Gritty is the word that people use all the time. And the thing with Beijing, and just in the last few weeks before the games, Beijing kind of snapped into focus in the sense that so many building projects that were just works in progress and all, you know, confused and kind of progressing at different rates suddenly snapped into focus simultaneously, and Beijing became something different. And it's very positive to see. There's a lot of levels to that about China, about the world and stuff, but broadly speaking, I think it's very positive. So for me, the games is, it's a wonderful experience to, it's a fascinating experience to meet guys like you and so many photographers and journalists from all over the world who come to my little place where I've been sort of digging away, you know, for the last few years. And you get a feeling that it's kind of very positive because you get the feeling that maybe, you know, not just for, well, I hope, I'm sure for China, but for everyone who's been part of Beijing, that we're kind of that bit more on the kind of world's map than we were before.
And speaking of hooking up, so I first met you in the photographer's work area, and you actually had a Windows laptop and a whole bunch of pictures, and you were actually a little overwhelmed by the situation. I mean, all this work that you've been doing was starting to pile up on you, and you said your laptop was 3 or 4 years old, and you were kind of going, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I came into the media press center, and I was sort of a bit blown away because I'd literally been thinking, I must go buy a laptop. I knew I wanted to switch to Mac, but I've set up a studio in Beijing. I, of course, need a laptop myself. Because of the studio, I've invested a lot in lights. I know I've got some major camera purchases ahead, you know, so I'm thinking I really want to make the right investment into Mac. I don't want to overcook it with a crazy tower that maybe is beyond my needs. I don't want to undercook it. I hadn't really had time to, you know, being here in China, you know, that there's a Mac store as of about a week ago. Okay, before that, you would just forget it. You know, just don't even think about trying to find anyone who can give you any kind of advice. So, and I just got so busy, I hadn't had time to put it together. I showed up at the games. I bought a couple of LeCie rugged drives. I thought, well, I'll get the stuff on there. Maybe in the first week, I don't know. I'll just get there and see what happens. I walk in the press center. There's 50 Mac towers with 30-inch monitors. I'm thinking, hang on a minute. This is a whole new ball game. So I literally just found that my PC couldn't even access the 320 gig LeCie because it's USB 2 and mine was older than that. So I'm like, I just got to use these machines. And then I'm thinking, well, my workflow, I organically created a workflow on the PC. I mean, I became a photographer alone in China. I never trained, I never assisted anyone, I never studied it, and I had a PC. So my workflow was right-click, new folder, put the pictures in. And that's fine if you do JPEGs. But of course, as every photographer knows, you're going to need to shoot RAW sooner or later, and the sooner the better. And then you hit the wall with RAW files with Windows because you can't see the image. And you then have to get involved in this great tangle of software to actually sort of see the RAW file. And then, you know, even if you save it as a TIFF, you can't see that either. You know, so I invented a workflow that was just frankly terrible, which was that I would shoot RAW in the knowledge that I would need to have the RAW files. And if I had a client or I worked with a great retoucher, I could say, yeah, don't worry, I got a RAW file of this shot. But in reality, what I was turning over was I would simply make my selection by batch processing little low-res JPEGs off the RAW files, then editing them, paring them down to my selection, taking the file numbers, going to the RAW files, and then batch processing the RAW files into big JPEGs, and then retouching the JPEGs. Ergo, I was eradicating the rationale for shooting RAW in the first place, other than having it as an insurance policy. And that was really the condition in which I was introduced to Aperture. You know, as I said, I mean, my investments have been pretty substantial in equipment. Every photographer can relate to that. And you just felt, you know, as long as my laptop kept working, it was like, oh, well, I don't need to buy a laptop today because I just sent an email and I just use Photoshop. So I'll do that other really urgent thing I need to do. And then all the while, of course, you know that there's maybe a new Mac on the horizon or whatever, and you're just like, I don't want to dive in right now. So suddenly I come to the games, I see all these Macs, and I get to have a chance to talk to you guys. And you guys showed me what Aperture could do. And that kind of lit a little light bulb, actually lit quite a big light bulb, because I suddenly realized I can turn over my shoot from the games infinitely faster than I can if I stay with a PC. In the sense that, I mean, my PC was taking maybe an hour and a half or more to just simply download shots. And then I've got a big file of RAW files that I can't see, so I've got to then batch process them. And, I mean, I was looking at several hours just to even see my pictures. But when you showed me that I could actually begin the process of editing my shots while they were importing, I was like, well, I'm at hour five within 3 minutes. Now, if you're shooting multiple events in a news hot environment, I made the decision that I would sit down with you guys, which has been hugely helpful, and I would learn Aperture as efficiently and rapidly as possible, specifically, of course, for the criteria that I need, and I would sacrifice shooting time at the front end of the games in the belief that my workflow will be so much more efficient by the middle to the end quarter of the games when the really big stuff starts, the athletics starts, the track and field starts, that I'm going to be better off. Because otherwise I would have either not been able to edit at all and just shoot, download, and then look at it all at the end of the games and either say, I'm going to spend another month wading through it and then by then I'm going to be way out of the timeline, or I'm going to look at a bunch of stuff and think, my God, if I just got that out then, I'd have been in business. So I just thought, well, you know what, I'm going to shoot less, but what I'm going to get, I'm going to get out. And for example, I'm looking at, you know, one of the things that you just kind of think on your feet, you know, Digital Railroad was something I hadn't got involved with before. I've got in touch with those guys. It turns out they're very interested in material from the games. It turns out Aperture has a plugin from Digital Railroad that I only just found out about. So I'm thinking, great, this means that I've got an outlet for a lot of my freelance material. And because of the games, and because of Railroad's interest in the games, I have 4 years of China photography as well. That I guess I can now have a great platform to put out there. So, you know, it's been, for me, the games really has been incidental visits to a stadium around, you know, just getting my head into Aperture, you know.
How we're set up in the workroom is pretty cool, because we get there in the morning and around 9 or 10, and we're there until about 1 or 2 in the morning. And we just basically hang out as photographers come and go. So that if anyone has a question, or if there's a gap in their work and they want to kind of learn something new, that's what we're there to do. And it's really nice, because basically we're just always there. I mean, you've worked with, what, 4 different people over the course of the last week?
Yeah, I have. I've got to know some of the guys pretty well. And, you know, it's really enjoyable because you can see them. I hope and I feel that they're actually seeing the products of their labors. You know, I'm actually on top of, you know, you came by to see me just now. I was retouching my shots in Aperture, you know, 2 days ago. I was like, is it file info? Oh my, you know, where's ISO? You know, so I really feel like, I mean, I'm basically now ready to just, I really want to hit the games hard now, because I feel like I've made my play. I think it's paid off. But the proof's going to be in the pudding. It's going to be what I deliver for the rest of these games. But I know I'm going to actually see it and work it through. And not only that, but actually the way, having learnt the projects and the smart folders and stuff, it's kind of helped me consolidate a shooting strategy that I had in my mind for the game. So I'm kind of already starting to it's actually influencing the way I shoot, because I've created smart folders with keywords so that I'm instantly getting groups of images that fulfill different types of reportage, whatever. Got a little bit of a plan in my mind, and I'm gonna, it's that sort of focus my mind in the way I'm gonna shoot the games too. So it's been great.
Yeah, actually that happens to me too, in all sorts of different ways, and because I know so well what Aperture can do. For instance, if I'm shooting something and I see one of the colors is not exactly the way I want, and I see, oh, but there's that color isn't anywhere else in the scene, I know that I can just put an eyedropper on that color and Aperture, you know, increase the saturation a little bit and be done in like 2 minutes. So it totally influences the way I shoot, because I know exactly what I can do quickly on the back end, not have to, you know, set up a bunch of layers and all that.
Yeah.
And it's been a really, I mean, I feel like I'm a better photographer now.
I have to say, I mean, a lot of photographers would hear this and be pretty horrified, but I never really got my head around layers. The thing, I mean, as I said, I mean, I just was by myself in my apartment. And Photoshop isn't the kindest program for a guy with a book on his knee. You go and buy this book, and it's, I mean, I've got one. I flew back from London. I thought I was going to have to pay extra luggage, because it was like, you know, I needed a kind of truck to move this thing around. And I know, I mean, there's millions of words. Obviously, the people have put a lot of thought and effort into it, but it's just so complex. And in reality, what I found was, yes, I can, you know, look through the index. That's what I want to do. I find the page. But because that page was on 465, it made loads of references to things I hadn't yet got. So I couldn't really understand that particular piece of advice, because it was referring to things I didn't understand. And so taking layers out of the equation is just gold dust for me, frankly.
Well, you're totally not alone on that. And I teach workshops all the time, and I always ask, you know, okay, how many people are using layers in Photoshop? How many people are using smart objects? These are photographers like you that are making their living, and it's usually around 15 or 20%. So, I mean, it's not an easy thing. And the non-destructive workflow in Aperture or any of these modern image managers totally makes it easier for photographers to turn their work around, you know, and maybe even get some sleep.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the more I progress in photography, you know, you're boiling down to more time on admin, contracts. You know, I've had to learn a hell of a lot about the legal side of the photography business, and it's, you know, retouching. The higher up you go, I mean, I've built a studio here. It's a big studio here, actually. In fact, it's the second biggest in Beijing. I'm the only foreign guy owning a studio in Beijing, or running a studio. I don't own the building, but I own the business. I've rigged it up with Profoto light system. It's a serious light system. And I'm doing this because, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages everywhere, you know, and the advantages to China and to Beijing do not include air quality, and they do not include, you know, readily accessible, beautiful countryside. There's no Mirum County right outside Beijing. But I can, there are economies of scale that allow me to do certain things that allow me to accelerate my development, i.e. I have been able to build and occupy a serious space that would be out of the question in California or New York or London. And in a way, I think when I saw the aperture thing, it was really the mindset that guys like me in a place like Beijing are on. It's like you come here to gain ground fast, because you get access, or you get you're on a story, or you're in an environment where if you're the kind of person that can handle living in a foreign environment like this, you know, then you have an opportunity to push forward. And so what I'm doing with the studio, I've got a huge amount of lighting equipment. I've got an infinity cove or a suite that's 250 square meters. And I'm gonna start, I can shoot cars, you know, and I'm using a PC, 4 years old, and I don't know layers, you know. I mean, honestly, it's insane. So I knew I had a major step to make. And when I saw you guys and I saw this environment, like you said earlier, I'm sitting down with you or Will or Mark or Sam, and I'm you know, getting some progress, getting some tips, and then I'm grabbing my cameras, running out to an Olympic event, and now it's in my aperture library, keyworded under, you know, swimming, water cube, Olympics, Phelps, whatever. So I saw an opportunity with all that other investment I've made and the knowledge that I really need to make a huge step. With you guys in this environment, I can do that very efficiently. When you guys go away, I'm left in Chaoyang District, Beijing, and I would be incrementally working that by myself. And while, you know, Aperture is a hell of a lot more user-friendly than Photoshop, it's still, you know, you need to put a bit of work in there. For me, looking at starting to shoot, what I mean, I'm installing a major green screen thing into the studio, and the way forward for me, in terms of my assault on the advertising sector, is to get done in an image what I need to get done. The clients don't know layers. The clients don't care about layers. The clients don't want to hear about layers. If I can deliver a result to them, they, you know, more efficiently, I'm just making more money. I'm doing more jobs, and I'm getting things done faster in the time that I'm being paid for. Now, obviously, you need to go to Photoshop for some of the tasks that kind of work requires. But the more that I can cut out of that process, the faster I'm able to concentrate on the Photoshop I need to know for my green screen work, you know. So basically, I mean, the vast majority of what I turn over in my professional life is all contained within Aperture. And that's basically, you know, I mean, there's things like certain kind of lens correction stuff in Photoshop, but in terms of, you know, straightening up lines, clone stamping, healing, exposure, saturation, cropping, you know, the meat and potatoes, it's all there, and my file never goes anywhere, and I can make as many variations as I like, and I'm not chewing up hard drives. I had this, I mean, some of the, your colleagues here were just like, you are the embodiment of everything that Aperture was created to solve.
That is so true. And I really appreciate, I mean, I interrupted you because you were editing some great shots of Yao Ming, actually, when I came by the workstation. It's been fun to see your work, and it's been fun to work with you. And I think you're going to have a great second week here at the Olympics.
Well, thank you very much. You know, and if I hope I do. And I know for one thing, no matter how good the shots I'm taking are, I'll be able to actually deal with them and get them out there, you know, and you guys have been a big help, so thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.